Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin, we begin actually right on top of Sholeh Shuris, midst of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah spoke about the way the Dayanim are configured in a semicircle. Continues the Mishnah with Sholeh Shuris, Shal Tamidei Chachamim, Yoishvin Lifneim. So in front of the Dayanim, we have three rows. Some say it was actually in a semicircle as well. And each row, Rashi explains, is comprised of 23 individuals. They are called Tamidei Chachamim because they are the students. They are junior members of the Bezdin. Actually, they're backups, Rashi explains, in case there's a deadlock in the Bezdin. So we call up these reserve, so to speak, reserve Dayanim, and add them to the convention. And we go up all the way to 71. That's the maximum membership in the Bezdin, right? So that's why we get all these added backup members to serve as reserve members when we need them. And Rashi explains, how did we get to so many, three rows of 23, which is going to be 69, which is a lot, in addition to the original, primary, 23 primary members. He explains because you really only need 48, but it's not appropriate, he says, to make two rows of 24, which is more than the 24 is more than the one more than the number of 23 of the actual Bezdin. So it's not appropriate for them to be greater than the Dayanim. And you can't make real small ones. You know, it also doesn't really look too well, too nice. And to have two rows of 23 and one of two, it's also not going to look, so we make them symmetrical. We have three rows of 23 Dayanim each, Tamid Chachamim. They're sort of like the bleachers, the backup Tamid, backup Dayanim. So again, V'sholo Yeshuro Yeshua Tamid Chacham Yoishvin Lefneim, Kol Echad Ve'echad Makaris Mekaymoi. So each member of the backup team knew exactly where he belongs, Rashi explains, because it was very... they were configured, they were seated based on their seniority, based on their Torah level, the level of wisdom, of chachma, of everything. So it was sort of arranged that way, very clearly, very accurately. So the biggest one would sit on the first row, the first seat on the first row. Next to him, you have somebody who was a bit lower than him, etc., etc., onto the next row, onto the third row. So the greatest of the Tamid Chachamim was sitting on the first seat, on the first row. And the most junior member was all the way in the back, the last seat on the third row. Now, Hutzruchu Lismech, suppose they need to add, if they're in need of a backup, Rashi says, let's say one of the Dayanim died, so we have to sort of absorb one of the Tamid Chachamim, we have to move him up, promote him, give him smicha, certify him as a dayan. Who do we go to? To the first seat on the first row. He's the greatest that we have. So we take him, and everybody sort of moves up one seat, sort of like a snake. Everybody just moves up. So one of the back moves into the middle, one of the middle moves up to the front, because they all moved over one seat over to this vacant seat. So once we vacated one seat on the first row, they all move into that position. They all move over one seat, leaving the last seat on that row empty, awaiting a member of the second row who's going to be promoted to that seat. And likewise, now the top member of the third row will move on and be promoted to the last seat in the second row. So now we have one vacant seat, only the back, last seat on the third row. So we take a member of the crowd, so to speak, we take a new person who is not part of this configuration, and we place him in that vacant seat to serve as a future backup dayan. Of course, the new member is not going to sit on the first seat of that third row. Rather, he's going to sit the last seat of that row, which is where he belongs. So back to the beginning of the Mishnah, Dayanim would sit in a semicircle configuration. How do we know this from a Pasuk? Menani Mili. Amar Bacha Baruch Hanin Lamakro, Pasuk in Shiar Shirim, which is applied to the Sanhedrin, Lamakro, Sharech Agan Hasar, Sharech is the belly, Agan Hasar is like a, Sar is a moon, a half moon, Al Yachsar HaMazig. So Sharech, as we explained, this is Sanhedrin, V'lom Nikro Shema, Sharech, why we call it Sharech, it's like a person's belly, is mid-body. Sanhedrin was sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, which is the middle point, midpoint of the world. She Yishev is B'tibur HaShalaylam. Because the Beis HaMikdash is in the middle, and the Sanhedrin was there as well. Why is it called Agan? Protection. Yishev Megina Kalayim Kuloi, the Sanhedrin, who implements Torah, Din, Emes, right? Keep the Torah clear and faithful, right? We're faithful to the Torah, we protect the Torah, we keep the world, you know, sort of on track, and that protects the world. Why is it called Hasahar? Oh, Sheidam Lassar, because in their configuration they sit like a semicircle, like a round moon. Okay, Al Yachsar HaMazig, that's the next part of the Pasuk, that also pertains to the Sanhedrin. So Mazig is Meziga. When you dilute wine, so it's one part wine versus two parts water. So the halacha is, Shem Hutzrach Echad Mehem Latzis. You cannot have less. You can't, let's say, some of the members have to leave. They must make sure that they leave behind a proper representation. Equal to the third, a third of the bezin, like the wine in the mix, which is a third of the mix. Shem Hutzrach Echad Mehem Latzis. One of the Tzanhed members have to leave, or many of them. Royin, we have to ensure, in Yesh Esrim Vashloisha Kenei Sanhedrin Ketana. So we're speaking about the Sanhedrin Gedolah in the Beis HaMikdash. It starts with 71. They ensure that there's at least 23 members left behind, like a Sanhedrin Ketana, which is sort of a micro Sanhedrin, right? If that's the case, there are enough members remaining behind Yotzei, then he can leave alive, but not if he leaves less than that. In Yotzei, then he can't leave. Bitnei Charei Maschitim. Again, the Pasuk continues describing the Sanhedrin as a remas chitim, like a pile of wheat. My remas chitim, akol nenen me manage, like by chitim. Everybody enjoys, everybody benefits. Av Sanhedrin, akol nenen tamei, and likewise, everybody benefits from the halachis and the Torah of the Sanhedrin. Suga b'sheshanim, and the pasuk continues regarding Klal Yisrael, how we're careful, how we adhere to the Torah in all situations, Suga b'sheshanim. Like a rose fence, which isn't really much of a fence. What's the point? Shafilu kesuga b'sheshanim l'yifrutzu ben protzeis. That even if the Avera in the Torah is merely like a rose fence, which isn't very difficult to breach. So there are no policemen, there are no undercover agents ensuring our compliance. Klal Yisrael are Meisur Nefesh, are faithful to the Torah, and we will never breach the halachis. Le'ifrutz ben paratzis. V'ayinu amr le'ahu mina, Rav Kahana. As per a story that a min, a troublemaker, was a non-believer, he took issue with Rav Kahana. Amriso, he says, you know what? I happen to know that you allow a Nida to go into seclusion with her husband, right? Nida shara liyachud b'adigarba. She can go into yichud with her husband. Come on, you really believe that the man will overcome? Esher esh ben ha'iris, compared to the fire burning some flammable material, flax, waste, whatever, flammable material. So you have a fire burning within him. It's not going to conflagrate. You really believe that a man overcomes his desire at that type of unbelief? He says, yeah, HaTorah, HaIdolein, we have the Torah. Testifies about our integrity, about our faithfulness. Suga b'sheshanim, shafilu kesuga b'sheshanim. Even this type of flimsy fence, we will not breach Lifrud Ben Pratzis. And yeah, Klal Yisrael is known to overcome these temptations and doesn't succumb to Avera. Interesting, Tosfos says the comparison to a red rose is because neither involves red, dam. Rish Lakish Amar Mihocha, I have another source about the faithfulness of Klal Yisrael to adhere to the halachos under all circumstances. Kefela Chariman Rakosich. We learn, Afilu Reikonin. Reikonin means the empty ones amongst you, not the greatest, man of stature, an ordinary Pashat Ayid. Afilu Reikonin Shebach Malay Mitzvahs Kariman, that are filled with mitzvahs like a pomegranate. Every Yid is special. Rav Zeira Amar Mihocha, another pasuk Vayerech Asriach Begodav. And we learn, Atikri Begodav, instead of referring to his Begodim, Ela Begodav. Even the rebellers amongst Klal Yisrael, even the difficult members of Klal Yisrael, are still exuding a pleasant aroma full of mitzvahs, full of Yerushalayim. Hana Ber Yoni, there were these difficult people, Davav B'Shevusi, Rav Zeira, neighbors of Rav Zeira, Davav B'Karvelu. He was Makar of them. So instead of rejecting them, he tried to bring them closer to Yiddishkeit, Ki Hechad Nahadri Luhu B'Tiyuvta, hopefully, to bring them to do teshuvah. Vavakav the Rabbanu were not happy with this type of attitude that he was reaching out to them. Kinochnafshe the Rav Zeira. So when Rav Zeira passed away, Amri, so these neighbors said to themselves, Ada idna hava, until today we had Rav Zeira advocating for us, doubting for us, hava charicha. They used to call him charicha katan shake. So katan, he was short. That's why they called him katan. And charicha shake, his thighs were slightly singed. Rashi brings with the whole story that he tested himself to see whether he'll be protected from the fire of Gehenna. So he once went into a fire, and it turns out that he got a little burnt. So that was sort of his nickname. So Rav Zeira, Dava Boilan Rachmi, till today, he was around to protect us, to daven for us. But now, we better shape up. We are on our own. Hashtaman Boilan Rachmi is going to daven for us. That shook them up. Hiru, Bilubayu, Vabda Tshuva. They made a quick turnaround and did teshuvah. So you see that his kirov, his encouragement, eventually bore fruit. Shalosh shuros. So we have the three rows of the backup dayanim, right? And they all move up like, musical chairs. Omar b'yishma minok inaydi kulu naydi. So we see from the Mishnah that the fact that the Mishnah says that the newcomer, the new invitee from the call that's added to the to the bleachers, will not sit in the place of the dayan, the newly certified dayan. Rather, he sits all in the back, apparently because they all move up, and only the back seat is available for him. So apparently they all move up one seat, as we explained in the Mishnah, Shema Minok Yinaydi, when they move Kulu Naydi, they're all moving up. Asks the Gemara of Alei Malu. Now, the new dayan, right? So we're speaking that one of the dayan passed away, correct? So we say the new person from the new member will sit all in the back, and likewise, we're assuming that the newly certified dayan that was just incorporated, that was absorbed from the Talmid Chacham, now came to join the actual Sanhedrin, is not going to sit. It's not going to fill the actual seat of the dayan that passed away. Right? No, they all move up one. Even within the Sanhedrin, they all move up one. And the newly certified member sits in the end of the Sanhedrin. Why? He could say, look, you've just demoted me. Until today, I was sitting in the first seat of the first row of the Talmid Chacham. Now I'm sitting, the very last seat of the Bezdin. Well, you can tell the Dayanim, the Sanhedrin, Ad Ha'idna, until today, I have a seven of Bereisha. I was at the head of the Talmidim. Ha'ashtam Asfisli B'dami, now you're putting me as a tail? The end of the Sanhedrin? Amar Abaye, no. It's a little better than before. Damar Lihachi, we respond to him, Ha'vezana V'la'arayis. Better to be the tail end of lions. Yeah, it's still better than sitting at the head of the shu'olam of the foxes. So you've been promoted, and you should be happy. Okay, now we're going to proceed with the sort of cross-examination that is applied to dinei nefashos. So we begin by sort of intimidating them. al edin nefashim. So v'machnisin oisam, we bring them in, ma'ayman aleim, and we sort of warn them. Be careful. Only the truth. Nothing but the truth. Shem ratayim r'ma'ayman u'mishmua, maybe you're going to be relaying to us information that you're estimating, you're assuming, hearsay, eid m'p'ei, maybe you heard it from somebody else, be adam neman, from a reliable person. No. Unacceptable. It has to be first-hand information. Right? Nothing second-hand or third-hand. Shema yatim yoidim, perhaps you're not aware that we're going to submit you to a very rigorous process of cross-examination. Shema yatim yoidim, shesoyfeinu livdak eschem b'dirisho v'chakiru. You're meant to know, this is serious business. Have a yoidim. Shaloike dinei mamanus, dinei nefashis. Dinei nefashis is in a different realm than dinei mamanus. Because by dinei mamanus, even if you falsify, what's the worst thing that can happen? You made him pay money. You can pay him back. Dinei mamanus, adam noisin maman, mischaper lo, you just pay him back and take care of it. Dinei nefashis, once you kill somebody, once you bring about somebody's death, there's no returning. Right? Damai, not only his blood, but dam zarois of his children, his potential children, that are not going to happen anymore. Tluyim boy atzev oilam are attributed to you. So him and all his future generations. Shematzinu b'kayin sharegas achiv, as we find in the first case of murder, Kayin who killed his brother Hevel. All his generations, all his future deiros, are sitting on Kayin's conscience, on his record. Damai. Dam Zaroisov. Shinemar called me Achicha. Soyakin. Right? So it doesn't say Inayim Dam Achicha, the blood, singular, Ladmei, plural, to teach us Domo Dam Zaroisov. So Hevel's all his descendants, all part of the sin. Lower Acher. Another reason why it says it plural, Dmei Achicha, Shay Domi Mushtachal Itzmal Novonim. That his dam was splattered amongst the Eitzim, the Avaram, the wood and the stones because of the many wounds that Cain inflicted on Hevel. He didn't know how to kill him and whatever, so it got all over. L'fichach nivra adam yechidi. Says the Gemara that the Dayanim will now continue sort of educating the Edom about the importance of saying the truth. You know why Adam Rishon was created as one person? Why didn't Hashem create many Adam Rishons? Lamedcha to teach us a profound lesson. The value of one life. Look, everything that we have today, billions of people, all came from one person. You see the importance of one life, the value of one nefesh. Lamedcha shekol ha'ma'abed nefesh. Achas mi'Yisrael, a person brings about the destruction of one life in Yisrael. Ma'alo levakosov is treated like he destroyed the entire world because one person can establish a world. Ki li'ibed aylu malei. V'chol ha'makayim nefesh achas mi'Yisrael. On the other hand, if a person protects, sustains one life, it's a whole world. A person is a whole universe. Another reason why Hashem only created one Adam Rishon, to keep the peace amongst people, to reduce any potential element of competition amongst people. To eliminate any possibility of a person, Reuben approaching Shimon and saying, well, actually, you know what? I come from this Adam Rishon, who is greater than your Adam Rishon. So that's why Hashem only made one Adam Rishon. We're all from the same source, and this would not apply. Another reason for one Adam Rishon, we don't allow the Kofrim to say, well, there are many gods. Each one created a person. No, it's only one Hashem, the ultimate power. V'oid, another reason, to bring out, express the greatness of Hashem and His abilities. Because look, Shadum Taveya Kama Mat Bois B'chasim Echad. If you go to the mint, right, you see there's one form, one chosim, that produces many nickels, many dimes, right? And they're all the same identical tzura. V'kulam Dem Zelese, right? One stamp can produce different types of forms. But Hashem, Umelech, Malachem, 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 Baruch Hu, Tova Kal Adam, Bechay Samay, Shal Adam Rishon. Hashem created only one Adam Rishon. Right? Who subsequently brought about all of humanity. Different forms, different shapes, different sizes, different personalities. It all comes from one source. So Hashem used sort of one form and created many different types from it. Right? It's a great talent. No, having said all this, that a person is so valuable, a person is so chashev, a person has his own uniqueness, his own abilities, his own talents. Right? Therefore, a person should have self-value, self-worth. I'm unique, I'm special. My personality, my talents, my abilities, my milus, my personality, my character traits, and my resources. There's nobody like me. Hashem created me special, unique, with my unique mission. Hashem time. Okay, the Yaram continue their presentation to the Eidim. Perhaps you'll say, okay, you know what? You're right, you're right. We don't want to get involved in this whole thing. We might end up bringing about this person's death. A person's like a whole world. Why do we get involved in this? Why bother with this? The answer is no. As long as you say the truth, you are responsible. You're chayv to do so. You can't withhold your testimony. The pasuk says, if you withhold, it's bad news. So we're just trying to set you straight. But if you have testimony which is true, which is MS, go ahead and say it. And you're obligated to do so. Perhaps you'll respond by saying, okay, we're willing to absorb that iser, so to speak, rather than be responsible for putting somebody to death, which is way worse than the law of Loyada. Answer is no. Actually, it's a positive thing to get rid of a Rasha, if he's really a Rasha. The pasuk says, "Ba'avoid Yerusham Rina." Right? Destroying a Rasha is a positive thing. So we began by warning them. No estimations. No assumptions, right? It's got to be really substantiated information. So give me an example. Of Oymed Badini Nefashis. Oymelam, we tell them, Shema Kachris, and perhaps, you're speaking about Reuben murdering Shimon, did you actually see it? Or was it just sort of a conclusion that you drew from circumstances? For instance, Shema Kachris, and perhaps you witnessed the following scene. Sheratzach Achaver L'churva, Reuben chased Shimon into an abandoned building. Rastam Achrov, you pursue him. You didn't see the murder, but Mitzasim Saif B'yadoi, V'damim Taftaf, and you find him with a weapon, sword, dripping blood. Varag mafarper, and the victim is fluttering. So perhaps that's what you're talking about? Imkain, reisim, if that's all you saw, lo reisim klum, it's worthless. Unless you see the actual murder. Anything could have happened, you don't know. Tanya, in fact, there was a story, Amar Rav Shimon Shatach, Erev ben Nechama, he made a shvua, I swear, and some of Farshim explain, it's sort of a negative, turn into a positive, I should not be zeicha to see the redemption of Yerushalayim, meaning I promise that this was so. Imla reisim, if I didn't see the following story, Echa sherotach achavei lechurva, same exact depiction. Reuben chased Shimon into a churva. Rasti Achar, I chased him. Reisi, Saip Yodai, Vidami Vitafte, Varug Mefarva. I saw everything. I tell them, Rasha, you wicked person, Mihargal Izzah, who killed Shimon? It's either me or you, right? Nobody else here. Oya, ni oya ta. So really, you're guilty. Guilty as can be. Avamah Esa. But you know what? It's out of my hands. Shein Damcha Masra Biyodi. I can't do anything to you. Sharam Atarit Purah says, Api Yishnaim Eid Mimus Hamei. So I need solid witnesses, and we don't have it. But Hashem will take care of you. Are you there? Machshavet, Hashem knows. Machshavet, he knows the truth. Yifram Moise Ish should pay back this person who killed Sharagas Chaver Amru, and it was said, Lezazel Misham, before they even got a chance to move away. Suddenly a snake showed up, Achabon Nachash Vikishay, and struck this man who amazingly died. Which was a fitting punishment. Asks the Gemara, hold it. True, the punishment came in Hashemayim, but typically it follows the pattern. It follows the system of the Misa Yisbezen. And for murder, the Einish is Sayef, by sword, which is incompatible with a Nachash, who bites a person and you know, inserts venom. How is that reminiscent of Sayef, which was his deserving punishment? Vaibar Nachashu, this person was deserving of a Nachash. Vomar Rav Yosef, v'chintan Rav Yechizkim, yem shechar Beis HaMikdash, even after the destruction of Beis HaMikdash and the Sanhedrin was destroyed, Abba Shabbat HaSanhedrin, even the Sanhedrin is no longer in session, Abba Mislei Botel, the four types of death penalties have not been suspended. Ask them, what do you mean? They were. Like Botel, they were not suspended. How Botel? A Botel not being carried out. El Din Abba Mislei Botel, means like this. Sure, the Sanhedrin can no longer apply these things, but the concept that Hashem brings about these types of deaths, they're still around. For instance, Mishan is chayv skila. A person is liable to skila, which involves throwing him off a roof and stoning him. So, loyalena, if a person is involved, is liable to that, Hashem will give him a similar experience. He'll fall off a roof, he'll be knocked down by an animal and killed. Mishan is chayv shreifa. A person is liable to burning. Get affected by fire, or by a snake who has that fiery venom. So a snake is reminiscent of strafe, right? Mishnah Schaiv Hariga, person is Schaiv Hariga through a sword. Included in that is a murderer. So he'll undergo a similar situation. He'll be given over to the authorities, or by robbers, but killed by sword. Mishnah Schaiv Chenek, if it's death by choking, drowning, or some sort of neck ailment. So why was this person killed by a snake if he's liable to sayif, by sword? Answer the Gemara, he, Amri, the answer is ahu, chet achrita havabe. Really, he was liable to misa by strefa as well. He had another avera which involved strefa. So he had a total of two liabilities, and you got the more severe one. The choice between getting this one or that one. But Mama, we learned Mishnah Schaif Shtebisa is better than a person who's chayif two types of misas. Right? Can't be killed twice. But it gets the more severe form, nidon b'chamur. Moimed. The name of Fashis, you have to know firsthand, factually, accurately, no assumptions. B'dinin Fashis, d'lam dinam. That's strictly to dinin Fashis. It sounds like, ha'b'dinin mamun is amdina. Monetary issues can be assumed, really? That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. Right? Because we only have that discussion here, but not back in Nafchav Tes. When we warn the Edom of Dine Mamunus, we don't discuss Aymed there. Apparently, it's not an issue. Really? Kamankar of Acha. Apparently, we're going on Karav Acha. That Dine Mamunus can proceed with Aymed, with assumptions. The son of Acha Aymed. Gomel Oicha ben Agmal. We have a camel who's having relations amongst the other Gomelim, and he's being wild. Vinitza Gomel Horak, but see, we find a dead Gomel nearby. We do a Horak, we know this one is the culprit. And he's liable. He's Chayev. Even though we haven't seen it happen. Asks the Gemara, hold it. According to what you're asking, aid and p8. What about testifying secondhand? Aid from another aid. Diktoni b'dinin nefashis. Diktoni, which is mentioned in our Mishnah. You're going to say b'dinin nefashis, hudle amrin, it's strictly a limitation. B'dinin nefashis. Ha b'dinin mamunis amrin, but b'dinin mamunis, we can testify aid and p8. Something that you heard second and third hand, but it's not true. We have a Mishnah. Imamar, let's say the aid responds by saying, look, you know what, you have a point. I didn't really see it firsthand. I overheard it. I was told the information. Hu amar li shani chayev loy. The loyve acknowledged to me that he owes the money. So it wasn't something that I know, that I saw. It's just that I heard. Ish pleni amar li shu chayev loy. Somebody else, a third party, told me that this person is chayev. Unacceptable. Unless he says, I know firsthand, I saw the borrower admitting to the lender in front of us. So what do we see? Almo, apparently, Afakav the Psili B'dinim Mamanis. So even though aid in the P8, second hand, third hand information is unacceptable, but even by Dinim Mamanis, Amrinu L'B'dinim Nefashis. Still, the Mishnah only pointed it out over here by Dinei Nefashis, even though it's really applicable to everything. Hachanami here as well, when it comes to estimations, even though it's only been mentioned in this Mishnah by Dinei Nefashis, but of course it extends to all types of testimonies, including Dinei Mamunis. Hachanami Afakav the Psila B'Dinei Mamunis. Amrinu B'Dinei Nefashis, we only happen to mention it here, but of course it applies to Dinei Mumnus as well, meaning that, true, we don't actually express it to the Edom. It's not part of the warning process, right? But technically, they're not going to be kosher if it turns out that it's estimated or secondhand. So again, even though the Mishnah only, in terms of the Eom, in terms of the warning process, by Dinei Nefashis, we make reference to non-estimations and second-hand information. But of course, conceptually, it applies to Dinei Mamunos as well, even though we don't go to the extent of actually bringing it out and pointing it out to them in person, even though it's not acceptable. How about Yoyte? Amar Bidu B'Reid Abchir B'Lamet Shasa Kain B'Hevel Ochev Chaburus Chaburus. P'siyos, p'siyos. So there were many elements of dam there, many bloodstains by Hevel, because he didn't know how to kill him, right? First time. So he was wounding him and hitting him all over. He didn't know how to extract his neshama, how to end his life. Until he got to his neck. From that moment on, when the earth, from that day, when the earth opened up its mouth and absorbed all of Hevel's dam without leaving any marks, that was the one-time thing. Shuv le'pascha, it never happened again. Shneim b'knaf ha'aretz mir shemanot v'la tzadik b'knaf ha'aretz. V'lo mi pi'aretz, we have a pasuk which mentions knaf ha'aretz, not pi'aretz. So there's no longer that concept of pi'aretz, total absorption. Esav, we have a kasha. Chizkiya of Achiv, so Chizkiya, the brother of Yehuda, asked the kasha to Rav Yehuda. We find by Kairach that the earth opened up and swallowed them completely. Tiftach Eretz says Pia. Amar Leis, he says, L'ra Paschal, L'tev Le'Paschal. Yeah, that was to their detriment, L'ra, that we find. But L'teva, in a positive sense, to absorb his dam, to fully bury him in a positive way, that was a one-time event. V'amar Yidu Yerachia, Golos Machaperes Oven Mechza. A person is compelled to wander away from his home. The inconvenience and difficulty involved actually can atone for half his sins. How do we know this? By Cain, who killed Hevel. The fact that he was sent away and had to wander mitigated his liability by 50%. Initially, it says, I'm going to go through experiences of na and na, different types of experiences, as a punishment. But after he wandered, Ksiv was mitigated. It's noid, he lived in noid. It doesn't say na vana, just noid. So the golos was mechaper half of his avinish. Amar vida golos mechaper shlosha dvarim. Golos has a great cleansing effect. It's mechaper, can be mechaper for three things that a person is liable to. Rashi says the three things are cherev, v'ra, v'dever, sword, hunger, and plague. What do we see? This shenemar. So we find this by Yirmiyahu, that he was referencing Tzitzki and the nation. They will all experience these very, very harsh difficulties. But then it says that actually, if you leave the city and you go into Golas, you'll be saved. He'll be salvaged from all these difficulties. Because wandering is very difficult. Unsettling, displacement, and that would serve as a fitting einish, which absolves one from more difficult punishments. Reich Nama, Golos Machaperes al HaKoil. Golos can take care of everything. Shenemar, Koymar Hashem, Kisvo Yisrish HaZeh HaRiri, Gever Le'etzlach B'Yamav. So this is a pasuk regarding Yechanya, Melech Yehuda. He's not going to have any success. Not going to have kids, no success. Kol Yitznach, Mizari Yishesh Val Kisei David, Moshe B'Yehuda. He won't have any descendants. He won't have anybody taking over the Malchus. And then what happened? After he went into Golos, right? Yechani went into Golos. What's up the Golos? Sivit says, yeah, he had a son who restored the kingdom, Ubnei Yechanya. So his son was Aser Shaltiel Benoi. So we see he had a son, Shaltiel. Why was he called Aser and Shaltiel? Aser, reflective of the circumstances surrounding his birth and his conception. Aser Shaltiel. So, Aser Mishi Brasa Imu Beis Asurin, Yechani was locked in prison, and his wife came to visit him, and that's where she conceived. Shaltiel, so that's Aser. Aser Beis Asurin. Shaltiel is also a reference to the circumstance. Shoslei Keil Shleikadech and Shtol. He was conceived by Hashem, conceived him, implanted him in a very unconventional way. Because Gmiri, we know this as a fact. Shenisha Misaberes Umen, a woman is not absorbed, is not conceived, standing up. It is having a woman, and she did. Again, implanted in a standing position, Davar Achav, because it was a very small cell, right? So that was the only way it could happen. Davar Achav, another pshat. Shaltiel means, Shenishal al Olase, Hashem sort of made a shvua. Hashem swore that he's not going to have kids, that Yechani won't have any kids, and Hashem was Nishal, right? Of course, it's a borrowed term, but just like a person wants to undo a nether, has to go and to the Rav or to the Bezin to ask, sort of request that his oath be rescinded and be reversed. Hashem did a similar process with the Bezin in Shemayim and undid that oath, that vow, and allowed Yechonia to have a child. Shenishal alasay kel, shas shalti el Hashem, rescinded his as well vow, and the son Shaltiel had his own son by the name of Zerubbabel. What does that mean? Shenizra b'bavel, he was implanted in Bavel, he was conceived in Bavel, he was born in Bavel. Umashmai, what's his real name? Nechemya ben Chachal Yishmai, the great leader Nechemya. Okay, we started with the way the Sanhedrin was configured in a semicircle based on the Pasuk and Shiar Shirim. They would have the backup Dayanim to fill in any vacancies, and they all moved up as they went along, based on seniority, based on status. We have a Mishnah describing the whole process, how he would issue these warnings to the Edom. Only real, accurate, first-hand information is acceptable. The severity of Dinei Nefashos, the chashivas of a person. One person is an Oilam Malei. We have the story of the Ritzicha that was not substantiated because it wasn't witnessed firsthand, but Hashem would address it in his own way, in a way which was reminiscent of the Mises Bezen. We learn about estimations, whether it can be done by Dinei Mamonos, but Machlek is about that. We have about the Oretz being Pesach Aspia, and the Chashivas of Golos, the Machaper, to atone for very serious and severe situations. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabba.